Good morning. I'm Peter Inch, along with Dean Timpany. We are the co-hosts of the Inch by Inch, the Home Comfort Show, presented by Peter Inch and Associates Heating and Air Conditioning. We thank you for listening today. Hope you'll be able to listen every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 as we provide you, our listeners, with some information about your heating, air conditioning, and maybe a little bit about curling. But most important, the phone lines are open, so you can give us a call at 519-643-2222 or 1-866-354-8255. And those numbers are really important because it is Dean against the listeners in guessing our music theme this week. And you can win a free tune-up on your furnace or air conditioner. You get to choose. And this week it is Guess the Singer.
Okay.
So that's what you, and again, listeners, if you know it, you can call in at 519-643-2222 or 1-866-354-8255. We're the two-time Consumer's Choice Award winner in the category of air conditioner and heating contractor. We're up three this week on Facebook to 814 people following us. And a huge shout-out. You might wonder why Steve's not here. Well, we had the bet last week that, you know, Niagara Falls did stop going over the Horseshoe Falls. And he said, oh, no, that didn't happen. No way. And we found out two or three times the U.S. Falls have stopped. But I had thought, I was sure that the Horseshoe Falls. And we had listeners, had three listeners who sent us in articles. But Doug Leek provided us the info that the water did stop on the Horseshoe Falls once.
I remember that when we lived in St. Catharines. I remember that people were talking about the fact that it did stop. I thought, and Steve, I thought he was wrong from the beginning, but obviously he was too scared to come and face the music.
Well, I sent him the article, and he didn't even look at it, you know. So I knew, he said, well, if Peter's sending it to me, he's probably figured it out. But it really was the listeners
right,
who figured it out, and I appreciate that, Doug, for all your work on that. And when Steve comes in here, we'll just prog him
a little more.
Yeah. It's the closing men's league open, Tuesday open, we call it, today at the Curling Club in St. Thomas. And his team's in the semifinal this morning. I had my semifinal on Tuesday, won that. So all the finals take place at 1:30 today.
Oh, very good.
So I'll be in the final at 1:30 playing. I told my team, you know, we're going to meet at 12. We're going to go through game strategy.
Yeah.
And the guy says, are we just going to have a beer? You know, I said, well, you can have a beer while we go through game strategy. But, well, we haven't gone through game strategy all year. I said, that's why we're in D League. You know, but if we win this, then we might move up to C League next year.
So, well, good luck to you. Yeah. Good luck to you this afternoon, and good luck to Steve this morning.
Yep, be a lot of fun. And we're going to have Owen Henry come on April 20th, I think it is.
Oh, excellent.
To kind of talk about how their team went and how the Canadian championship that they were in out in Fort McMurray, to talk a little bit about that. So he's going to come in, and that will wrap up their year. Of course, Brad Gushue, Team Canada's in the semifinal against Scotland.
Wish them the best.
Yeah, they beat the U.S. 8-4 today, and Italy beat Germany 8-3. So Italy will play Sweden. The winners of that and the Canada-Scotland game will play for the gold, and the losers will play for the bronze. So
right,
we're in a medal game. Hopefully we come home with the right color.
Exactly.
But any color will be nice. Now, we got, I was listening to Stubbsy on yesterday. He's going to be down in the big town of Port Stanley doing the show on the Eclipse.
Very good.
Down there, so it's going to be a little crazy. I said, I don't know if they'll ever get out of Port Stanley. They may be there for a couple of days.
They'll be there
before
for a while.
They get out, but we can, he was worried about parking, and the guy, the bartender, says you can park at my house. And I'm thinking, well, I hope the house isn't that far to walk to the bar, but it will be a lot of fun. And Juan, you're going down there. You're going to be part of it.
Yeah, I'm the one of the reporters that are going to be there. So it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
It's going to be different. Busy. I wanted to go anyway, so now I get to work it.
I heard, we couldn't say Port Stanley because you didn't want all the crowds in Port Stanley. Now you're going to be there.
Well, now I'm going to be there with a lot of people.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a busy spot.
I said, I'll be working at my desk, watching it get dark outside and then getting light again. And then I'll say it's all over and then I'll go home and watch it on the news.
The crazy thing is that it's 4 minutes.
Yeah,
so we're going to be there for like 10 hours for 4 minutes.
That is crazy.
It's like a roller coaster. When you go in the summer to Canada's Wonderland and you have to wait in line for like so long for like 20 seconds of, ah!
Then you get back in line and
then
wait
you're back in line. Like, oh, I got to do it again.
Exactly. Well, we'll have to wait a long time to get back in line for this. But you're listening to the Inch by Inch, the Home Comfort Show, presented by Peter Inch and Associates Heating and Air Conditioning, and we will be right back.
Jolene, 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 I'm warning you, don't come for my man. Jolene, 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 Jolene.
I don't know. I know it's a Dolly Parton song, but that's not her.
No.
And I know Miley Cyrus has sung it, but that didn't sound like Miley.
No, not her.
Yeah.
Country, I threw in country thinking Steve would be sitting there, but I think even country might be good to catch him.
You've got me on the country stuff. I'm not a country singer, but I do know that song.
We'll see if the listeners know it, and if not, we got another one coming up after the second break. We had a question come in, and we get this a lot, or we got it a lot in year one. We haven't got it much as much now, but why does your phone number ring long distance?
Kind of an interesting story on that. When we opened up our business, we wanted to have a 519 exchange. And when we called the phone company, we asked them for the 519 exchange. They gave us one and they didn't tell us and we didn't realize that they gave us a Brantford number. So it rings into us. It is here in London, so you're not calling anywhere else but London. But there is a Brantford exchange, unfortunately, that in order for us to get a 519. And then, of course, by the time we found that out, we had printed everything, advertising and all that stuff, so we were kind of stuck with it. But we do have a separate number that customers can call. It's a 266 number. I don't have it memorized, but I'm sure you have it there, Peter, that is not long distance, and they can call directly to us.
Well, and our regular number, if you call from a cell phone, is not long distance.
Correct.
The only time that it is long distance is landline. And that's why it took so long for us to figure it out, is because they'd say, well, it's showing long distance, and we'd pick up our cell phone, call it, and go, well, no, it isn't, and kept doing it and doing it.
Right.
And then finally somebody said, well, no, I don't have a cell phone. I'm calling from a landline. So the landline number, again, call it from a cell phone, 519-900-9960 is our shop number, and it's not long distance unless you call from a landline.
Right.
And we tried to change it. Unfortunately, the big phone companies won't, but they say it won't matter in another year. That will be gone. So at some point, it won't be long distance even from a landline. We're just waiting for the day for that to happen. But so another question. This one's, if Steve was here, he'd be rolling his eyes. But should we take the winter cover off?
The answer to that is yes. The snow is pretty much gone, cross our fingers. But it's the ice that we're worried about falling on it. It gives it some protection and things like that. I advise taking it off. It is time to take it off. It's starting to warm up. I looked at the weather forecast this morning, shows that we're getting up to 20 this week.
Yeah.
So get it off, and that way, if a family member goes to the thermostat, turns it on, and not thinking about it, you're not turning it on with the air conditioning cover there. But get it off, clean it up, store it away so it's ready for the fall. But now would be a time to make sure it's off so that nobody turns the air conditioner on without removing it.
Yeah, we want to get a little air going through it, dry it out. And now even, we had the hail the last couple of days. That wouldn't have damaged it or anything. So when I drive home and I see all the covers still on the air conditioners, I want to pull in, knock on their door and say, you need to get that off.
Right.
But but take the cover off. Don't need it anymore. Give it a good wash. I washed mine the other day and folded it up, put it away. So
well, yeah, but you've had your air conditioning running already.
Yep, we have. Check it out. We want it, you know, on that 20-degree day. Turn that air conditioner on. Make sure it works. We'll have it on at the shop, making sure it's working there.
You're not going to have it on the shop, yeah, are you?
To make sure it works. And
Murray,
then we'll,
make sure you bring your coat.
Yeah.
Vanessa, you need your heater. Yeah. I'll bring it out of my truck for you.
And then once you're guaranteed that it's working, you know, you can turn it off. Don't have to worry about it.
Right.
But don't wait to the first hot day to try out that air conditioner. Try it out a little sooner.
No, the techs will be running on that day because everybody does leave it.
Now, the mixing valves, we get a lot of questions about mixing valves on water heaters because some companies don't install them, other companies do, but why do we install a mixing valve on a water heater?
We get a lot of questions in the field when we go into homes on mixing valves on a regular basis. A couple reasons we install them. First and foremost, it is a safety feature. Water heaters sit down in the basement. We store stuff in the basement. If you happen to be storing something near the water heater, hit the dial and crank up the temperature. The mixing valve is the safety thing there that's going to help to make sure nobody gets scalded at the tap. The big thing there is, you know, small children, we got to care for them, make sure that something is there to protect them because oftentimes they'll turn it on, just throw their hands in without even checking. So it is a safety thing. The second thing in the City of London here is it is plumbing code. It's bylaw here in the City of London, so we got to make sure it's done properly and safely, and we won't do anything at Peter Inch and Associates that's not up to code and done properly.
Well, but it's supposed to be set at 120 degrees. Now, tankless doesn't need a mixing valve because you can set the digital
readout on it.
Yep. Temperature right on it at 120.
Correct.
And that's all it will produce.
Correct.
But a tank water heater, there's no, you know, it's medium, high, or
right.
So they have to put the mixing valve, or I used to call it for years, anti-scald valve.
Correct.
Because that's really what it's supposed to do. And unfortunately, years ago, we had a little girl, before these were put into place that they were needed, we had a little girl that climbed up on a toilet, got up on a vanity, sat down in the sink, and then turned on the tap and scalded herself.
Yeah, that's terrible.
And then, you know, years later, they came out with, you need to install mixing valves on that.
Well, and that's what we need to make sure we're protecting the most vulnerable in our society. And that's really what they're for.
Yeah. So definitely. And, you know, they do break down. You know, they might only last 8 to 10 years and they need to be replaced. But again, it's that safety device that you're making sure that nobody, you have people over, you're used to it. You know, you go, well, I got to add a little cold water here. I'm used. But then you have somebody come over that's visiting, that's staying with you, has no idea.
Correct.
And then this is where they can get
started. And I was in a house this week that had a water heater with no mixing valve on it. It's amazing how many are still out there without them.
Yeah. And there's lots of companies who replace it without it, but that's not the proper way of doing things. So, and we had I think we had two calls this week of people who smelled natural gas and they weren't sure of what to do. Like, and they were calling and saying, okay, I smell gas. What should I do? What should people do once they,
well,
they
if
do
you
that?
Smell gas and you don't know what to do, the first thing to do is call 911. If it's a faint smell, you could call the gas company itself, call Enbridge. They will send somebody out and they will assess the situation, figure out what the problem is, if there is a problem. And then from there, they will instruct you on who needs to be called from there. If it's a gas leak on the inside of the house, they're going to tell you to evacuate the house. They're going to tell you to air it out, open the windows, the doors, and they're going to also tell you to call us. And we'll come out and we'll take and fix whatever the challenge is there. If it's on the outside of the house or the meter or something like that, then they will take the steps they need to do and they will have to fix it on their end. But the first thing to do is you want to call 911 if you're not sure what to do. Be safe. Safety's first on this.
Yeah, we sent out, it was in a church that they were smelling it, and we sent out a tech, and he hunted and hunted and hunted and tried to find it, soap tested, you know, trying to find where this leak was, couldn't, called Enbridge, had them come out. They spent an hour or so trying to find it as well, and it ended up being in one of the gas stoves in the kitchen that was leaking. And then so they turned the stove, like the gas off to the stove, infracted it, and then the church now has time to get that stove fixed by a licensed gas technician who then will sign off on the infraction that it's been repaired. And that gets sent back into Enbridge to say it's all been fixed up.
The biggest thing on that is you want to err on the side of caution. If you're not sure what to do, err on the side of safety.
Yeah.
Because gas is not something you want to play with.
No, and if you call 911, fire department's going to show up, and they're going to go in with readers and read whether it's at an explosive level or not. They're also going to vent it out, but they're also going to call Enbridge and say, okay, you guys get out here.
Right.
We do have a trace of natural gas. It's not an explosion level, but we need you to come out and find out
what it is. And their meters are very sensitive. They'll find anything if there's something there.
Yep, and we appreciate the first responders for everything they do for us and to keep us safe, and that's what they're there for. If you have a problem, get them involved. Don't start flipping lights on or anything like that.
Cell phones or anything either, because they all spark a little.
So it's just get out of the house, you know, give those phone calls, and then get it resolved at that point. So what do you got planned this weekend?
Well, I'm working.
Working.
So I'm leaving here, going to the shop. I got a customer that I've got to help with a water heater that I saw earlier in this week, and then I've got a 2 o'clock appointment to go back and help a customer with a new furnace.
So if you need a new furnace, call Dean.
I'm around all weekend long.
Take a look at it, take care of it for you, give you a price. And we're going to talk after the break about what we call the inch-by-inch, the home comfort package that we now are presenting to everybody on every call, just to make sure that you are aware of it and you've had the option for it. We believe it's the way that we should be going.
It is.
For heating your home. And we want to make sure everybody has that opportunity, even if they choose not to.
Yep. We got to educate them to tell them what's out there and where the trends are going as well.
And next weekend, we're at the St. Thomas Home Show.
St. Thomas Home Show.
So stop in. We'll have some bright yellow shirts on. You'll see us Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. So Steve and Murray will be there, and I think Brandon Baldwin and Josh Betancourt and Vanessa.
Yeah,
if you've talked to Vanessa on the phone but never seen her, make sure you stop by.
She'll be down there.
She'll be over there for everybody to have a chat. But you're listening to the Inch by Inch, the Home Comfort Show, presented by Peter Inch and Associates Heating and Air Conditioning, and we will be right back.
This ain't Texas, ooh, ain't no hold'em,
hey.
So lay your cards down, 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 down. So park your Lexus,
ooh,
and throw your keys up.
Hey.
Now, I've already got a text that came right to my phone of a person who's guessed it, but Dean, I'll give you an opportunity.
Did they guess it right?
Yep, they did.
Did they? I got a little help from a friend, so you know that show I Want to Be, or How to Be a Millionaire or whatever it is. I got to phone a friend. My daughter helped me. And now that she said it, I can recognize the voice. I believe it's Beyonce.
That's correct. Yes, it is. And that's Jamie Weisner sent it in at 8:23. Well, no one else chimed in, so Beyonce is the cover girl for Jolene. So
she, there was a TikTok, I think, that one of my kids showed me that had Dolly and Miley singing Jolene, and there was a third person, and I'm sitting there listening to it, and I just couldn't come up with who that was. But now that Abby helped me with it, I knew exactly who it was, because the voice is pretty familiar.
And I think it's Cowboy Carter.
Hey, this is Vanessa, and you're about to listen to the reminder of the day.
Well, Vanessa sent in warm weather is coming, and that is looks like it is next week. This year, one thing to consider is to set your thermostat at one constant temperature. Constantly adjusting the temperature can cause higher utility costs. Limit the setbacks to twice a day, such as when you're at work and when you go to sleep, and only set back that thermostat about 6 degrees of the desired temperature, or just a few degrees. And we're seeing that more and more, that just maintaining a constant temperature in the house will allow you to reduce those utility bills.
Absolutely. In my own home, we keep it at an even, consistent temperature. You're going to get better comfort that way, I believe. You're also going I always take and compare it to the vehicle. You drive on cruise control, you're going to get a far better gas mileage than going up and down all the time. Yeah. But with the changes in the industry, the real move towards a heat pump, and that's certainly where we think people should be going as far as that goes, is heat pumps. Keeping it an even, consistent temperature is far more advantageous with a heat pump than going up and down every day.
And, you know, this is a sad day in Canada because the Humble Broncos bus crash happened about 6 years ago today. So, you know, I remember putting the sticks out at work and sticks at home, mm-hmm. and to remember the boys. But a real important day tomorrow is the Green Shirt Day, as one of those players had signed their donor organ card a few weeks before that accident.
I heard that on the way in this morning, 5 weeks before the accident.
Yeah, and saved a whole bunch of people because of the donation. So we did want to make sure, you know, it's wear a green shirt tomorrow. If you haven't signed your donor card, think about it. And if that's something that you feel you should do, please do it. It will help save some lives.
Certainly will.
So we'll get back. So we were talking there about the new inch-by-inch home comfort package. What is that, Dean?
Well, the inch-by-inch home comfort package is our premier package, or the system that we feel will benefit the most customers. We are a big believer in the heat pump technology here at Peter Inch & Associates. We believe that that is your most economical way to heat and not only cool your house, because with a heat pump, you have the option for it does both for you. With that as well, the heat pump is by far the greenest way to go as well. It's the best thing that we can do in our homes to help our environment. So the inch-by-inch home comfort package is a package that we've designed with our Carrier hybrid heat pump system, our mid-range or step-up heating system for the furnace as well as your backup heat. It has some IAQ in it, thermostat, and the whole bit. It's a turnkey system that will give you the best opportunity to heat and cool your home, help out the environment, and it is something as well that is going to be far more efficient than what you likely have in the home today.
And we advertise a lot that says, choose your comfort fuel. And, you know, people go, what do you mean, choose your comfort fuel? Well, this system allows you
control
to choose whether you want to run the gas furnace or the electric heat pump.
Yep.
Where is, you know, today, if I say, is natural gas prices going higher, or is electricity prices going higher, or is one lower than the other?
Yep.
It's hard. You know, we got carbon tax and all that, so gas is going through the roof. Okay, well, what's happening with electricity? But this allows you, whatever's cheaper, you have, as the homeowner, the control in your hands to decide what you're going to use to reduce your utility costs.
And being an individual in the homes every day, that's probably the first objection I get when we start talking about heat pumps, is the cost of electricity. Personally, myself, I don't think cost of electricity is going to pace the cost of natural gas, because the government's going to make sure that natural gas is going to continue to go up. It's been published on what they're doing with the carbon tax. We're experiencing it right now from this week's increase.
Yeah.
But with this, I compare it to the hybrid cars that are on the market today. You've got your battery, you've got your gasoline, and it switches back and forth between the two, depending on which is the most economical to operate. And with these systems, you have full control over it as well. You can run the heat pump if the electrical price is cheaper, Or if electrical prices go way up and get out of control, you have the option to go back to natural gas. You have full control over which utility you choose to heat your home with.
And that heat pump is more efficient when it's working as an air conditioner than a straight air conditioner.
By far. It's measured in what's called SEER rating, and the heat pumps have a larger or higher SEER rating than air conditioners generally do in the area. However, with that as well in the heating side, the best furnace out there you can get is around 98.5% efficient, meaning call it 2 cents out of every dollar you're investing in gas is being used to heat the house. The other 2 cents goes right out the chimney, heat the birds and the bees.
Yeah.
With a heat pump down to minus 15 degrees, they can be 300% efficient. So every dollar you invest in fuel, you're getting $3 worth of heat. And our average temperature in this area here in London in our winter is between +1 and -1. So by far a more economical way to heat your home in the winter as well.
And people get confused when we say heat pump, but we say it's air conditioner.
Correct.
It does heating and air conditioning. It has what we call a reversing valve in there that reverses the flow of the Freon in the unit to take the heat out of the house and blow it outside and cool your home.
Correct.
And then in the winter, it reverses and takes the heat from outside and brings that into the home. And it works like your refrigerator.
Yes. Right. Works exactly like refrigerator, and quite frankly, a heat pump is an air conditioner kind of on steroids. It's the exact same piece of equipment. It just works backwards as well as forwards, and in doing so, heats the home. And the other thing, a lot of people are scared they don't want to get in on new technology. Well, heat pumps aren't new. The Inch family, correct me if I'm wrong, was installing heat pumps back in the 80s.
Yep.
So it's not new technology, but it is improved technology. The best heat pumps out there can still heat your home when it's minus 30 degrees outside.
When I graduated out of high school and went to into the field here, my first training course was on York heat pumps. And yeah. I went down to Toronto, and Elf was the instructor's name, and he took us through and showed us all that. I think I still got the books at home because a heat pump back then is like a heat pump today. They've just made them a little smaller, side discharge,
yep,
and really quiet.
They're quiet. Very, very quiet.
So, well, you're listening to the Inch by Inch, the Home Comfort Show, presented by Peter Inch and Associates Heating and Air Conditioning, and we will be right back.
So sweet, I give you kisses in the back seat.
That one wouldn't have helped me at all.
No, that one wouldn't have helped you at all.
Not at all.
That's Bodyguard, that is the name of that one. But
no, that one wouldn't have helped me even a little.
All right. Well, we're going to head to the phone lines. Ed, go ahead with your question.
Good morning. You're thorough as usual. The pipes that run from the air conditioner on the outside at present to the furnace, when I go for a heat pump, will they be used or do they have to be replaced?
Hi, Ed. Thanks for calling in. No, those line set, they would have to be replaced. When you put in a heat pump, they may not be the right size.
Yeah.
They may not be the right refrigerant that's being used in the air conditioner to the heat pump today.
Okay.
And they also both have to be insulated for a heat pump. Because the equipment both heats and cools, the refrigerant runs in the opposite direction. So now both of those lines would have to be insulated as well, or else you're going to have condensation. And if they're above a finished ceiling, you're going to have some problems.
Thank you for the information.
You're very welcome. Thank you very much for calling in, Ed.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. You're great.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And it's, so we, R410 cannot be mixed with R22, the oils. So if they had an R22 air conditioner, the line's got to be replaced.
Yeah.
And like you say, they both have to have Armaflex or insulation on them. And when you go out and give that estimate, you look at that. See what can be, how can we do this?
Yeah, we're looking for any challenges like that. If it is finished ceiling, how do we do it? Can we do it without making a mess of the ceiling if we have to make holes? But that is something that is one of the big things on our list, that and the electrical, that when we're upgrading to a heat pump that we have to make sure can be done.
Now, if Steve was here, he'd be picking on me because we're going to talk about cooking, and he'd say, well, you burn everything, Peter. So part of this is could even be my house because I'll burn toast or I'll, you know, put something on, and then it was, you know, like home fries, and they'll start burning, okay. Or the dog will start barking to remind me that the home fries are on. But so in this question, it says, we cook a lot of fish, and my husband complains about the smell. Are there any filters that could help with this?
Well, there certainly is. My first question with that one, though, is I'd want to know if that individual's from Barbados. Their national dish is flying fish, and that is a very smelly fish. with that, there's a number of things you can do. There are filters that can help with that. There is UV technology or ultraviolet light technology that is very good at that. And then, of course, you can always do the ERV/HRV idea where you're exchanging the air from outside to inside. So in a lot of municipalities today, ERVs and HRVs are building code. So if you have one of those in the house, turn that on. That'll exchange the air in the home, get that smell out of there. If that's not a possibility, because the biggest challenge we have is setting those up properly in existing homes, especially with finished basements, then you can look at filtration. There's HEPA filter bypass. There's better filters you can put on the furnace itself as well. And then, of course, there is the ultraviolet light. That is what I did in my household, and it really does make a difference.
Yeah. So, you know, we talk about air exchange,
yep,
which is ERV. Taking air from inside the house, taking it out, bringing fresh air in. Then, like you say, UV, ultraviolet to kill bacteria. And then the filter is really to remove airborne particles.
Correct.
Now, some filters will have charcoal, yep, which the charcoal is to remove smell. So it can be a combination of all three. It could be a combination of one.
Yep.
Some of the... Years ago, when new homes were built, they had a switch by the thermostat that said ventilation.
And that was, yes.
And you turned it on, and the highest bathroom fan would run. But people would, like, I can't sleep. The bathroom fan's running, so they would turn it off. But if
you
have
a cheater ERV, HRV kind of idea.
It was. But if you have one of those, you know, make sure you're running that fan all the time to try to pull out those smells and that. And that's what I do in my house when I'm, I have an HRV, but I also know if I'm going to be cooking at Christmas or that, and I'm going to steam the whole house up, I end up turning on my bathroom fan to give me a little extra to get rid of it.
That kind of brings me to a point as well with HRVs, if you have to replace it, correct me if I'm wrong, Peter, but aren't we better to start looking at ERVs now versus HRVs? There's not a whole lot of difference in the price of them, but an ERV, it gives you the opportunity to run it in both the summer and the winter,
right,
where an HRV, really, you don't want to run it in the summer unless you've oversized your air conditioner, because it's going to bring that humidity in the house, which you're trying to get rid of with the air conditioner. You got one appliance battling the other.
Yeah, yeah, and it's... And you know, there, it becomes to balance your house is the big thing, to have someone that knows how to set this all
right
up, that the air conditioner isn't fighting the HRV or ERV, or the humidifier isn't fighting against it. You know, it really becomes how to set that up properly. Make sure you understand the controls so that you don't get it out of balance.
Well, we hear the technicians coming in talking about that all the time, where we'll have HRVs in homes and you'll have customers running it in the summer months and they can't figure out why they can't get cooling in the house. They think there's something wrong with their air conditioner, but it's one appliance battling the other to try to get to the temperatures you're looking for.
Yeah, I increase my air conditioner a half a ton or 6,000 more BTUs to offset my HRV because I was bringing in that hot, humid air and
right,
had to have that extra air conditioning.
And you got to be really careful with that too. Please don't start inviting people in your home to get a new air conditioner and say, I want to go a ton or half a ton or a ton higher, because you've got to make sure you've got the airflow to be able to handle that. Yep. You've got to have somebody that knows how to calculate the airflow with your existing ductwork, because if you put in a too large air conditioner and you don't have the ductwork or the airflow to handle that, you're going to be freezing up all the time. It's not going to work right, and you're going to be having somebody out again to try to get that fixed for you.
That's why, you know, we're the experts to take a look at that and give you the explanation. And why are we a little more money than everybody else? Well, because we do it right.
We're doing the little things, calculating airflow, doing heat gain, heat loss analysis. And we're trying, when Steve or Murray or myself come out, what we're trying to do is we're trying to find the problems before they happen.
Yeah.
And we're trying to figure out that what we put in your house is going to work with the system or the structure that you currently have there already. We really don't want to have anybody put something in and then find out later you got a problem with the delivery system or something like that. Exactly. That's something you got to get ahead of.
Well, we were talking about humidifier. We got a question. How often should I have my humidifier looked at? And is the best time spring or fall?
Spring or fall really doesn't matter that much because you're not going to run the humidifier through the summer. So if you had it done in the spring, that's not a big deal. You do really want to look at it annually. The pads in the humidifier, if you look really, really closely, they're concaved and kind of little cups, and all of the sediment from the water, the calcium buildup and whatnot, when the water sits in there, that's going to settle. And it's going to fill those little cups, and that's not going to allow the water to sit in that pad. And when the air goes over it, that's how it humidifies the air. So you really do want to have it looked at every year. It's going to not only make sure that your pad is in good condition and ready to go, but they're also going to find little things, like if the water pressure is too high, if you're wasting water and things like that, the technician can head off a lot of those challenges. So my recommendation is when you have somebody out, as you should, to maintain your system on an annual basis, make sure that they look at that humidifier and check that over for you as well.
Yeah, spring and fall, you know, I can shut it down in the spring, turn it off, replace the pad, make sure everything's okay so that you're ready to turn it on in the fall. Or if I'm out there doing the furnace in August, you know, I can check it then, put in a new pad. But every year, whether it's a drum type or a flow-through type, flow-through hard pad needs to be replaced every year.
Yep.
If it's a flow-through soft pad, it needs to be replaced twice during the humidifier season. So you put the new one in at the start, and then you might be putting another one in January.
Halfway through.
Because the soft pads will absorb that calcium and build up a lot quicker and become hard, and then they don't work.
Correct.
So they need to be. So, anyways, well, it's been good show, Dean.
Thank you very much for having me in twice in 3 weeks.
Well, if Steve keeps ducking me because, you know, he didn't win and he doesn't want to hear that Niagara Falls did freeze the Horseshoe Falls, but, you know, maybe he'll come back and we can have that. I think he owes us a coffee when he comes back. I think that's what the bet was that day. But
and not just any coffee, a 15-minute wait coffee.
Yeah, exactly. So when we're not on the radio, you can reach us at 226-499-3752 or always online at peterinch.ca. To listen to this show or any of our shows, go to peterinch.ca and hit our podcast button at the top of the homepage. Remember, great service is only an inch away. We'll see you next week.
There I was, tangled up in marigold. We were listening to the reverend children singing.
Sing, sing, sing,
yeah.
Sing,
humming low as the garden river flows while the August light becomes a golden.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.